The story of the Exodus is a story of the Jewish people, and no other people in the whole of history of planet Earth has undergone that event similar to the Exodus. In recalling this story, I have also given an alternative title, The High Price of Faithlessness. As we study the story of that migration of 2 million people out of the land of Egypt to the Promised Land, it clearly demonstrates to us the importance of faith. And in the process of this message, we are going to learn new lessons of faith. Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? I know not him. I couldn't care less." Now, in his case, it was a kind of absence of faith altogether. Case of faithlessness. And he suffered for that faithlessness. Lost his life. Amazing. In the case of the Israelites, their faithless fears, when they were just on the border, on the verge of entering into the Promised Land, through faithlessness, they suffered 40 years in the wilderness. This is the story of Exodus. 40 chapters. Have you ever read it through? If not, I challenge you. It's not too difficult a task. I think it takes you about 2 or 3 hours. You can finish the whole book. And see if the Lord will speak to you. For without faith, it is impossible for us to please God. The history of the Exodus goes back to Genesis chapter 50. At the close of that chapter, we see the beginnings of Israel in the land of Egypt. Genesis chapter 50 tells us all the Jews at that time, the beginning of the Jewish nation, were in Egypt. There was Joseph, at that time the governor of Egypt, and he was dying. And all his brothers were there, and all his relatives, total 70 souls. By the time of the Exodus, 430 years later, they were a nation, a people of nearly 2 million. Can you imagine it? God had promised Abraham, when he was called to go to a land that he had not seen, the Promised Land, Canaan, that is today's Israel, God promised him to be a nation. Out of you will come a nation. By the time he was 85, 10 years following God, he still had no son. Except by the Egyptian maid, Hagar. Sarah was still infertile, childless. God called Abraham one night and said, "Come, look at the night sky. See the stars, and if you can count them, that is a picture of your children. Your descendants will be like that." And God spoke to him amazing words. By the time of the Exodus, there were nearly 2 million, far more than the stars in the sky that you can see. Do you know how many you can see with the naked eye? That Abraham will look to the sky. Men like astronomers have calculated, without the use of telescopes, you can see about 3,000. By that time, they were nearly 2 million. And there begins the story of the Exodus. What is Exodus? I have given you, each one, a little green card to help you follow our discourse tonight. On one side is the word Exodus, which means going out. And on the other side is release or setting free, which is the counterpart of the Exodus of the Jews. The counterpart of that Exodus is our salvation. For if you read the whole story of Exodus, it is a picture of the Christian experience. From the time you come to hear the gospel, you begin with the escape out of the bondage that is over all sinners under Satan's grip. And without faith, it is impossible to escape this grip. Just as the Jews under Pharaoh, who were they? What were they? Laborers. Cheap labor. And by the way, the Jews are a very special workforce. Very efficient. And how can I let them go, says Pharaoh? Who is your God, your Lord? I know not him. And that kind of faithlessness cost him his life. He said, I don't care and I don't know him and I will not let you go. So, they were held captive. As we all were held captive. Notice the parallel is amazing. God must come in. We must have the faith. When I was 6 years old, I went to live with grandfather. Now you've all heard this story so many times. But it is worth telling you again, because grandfather taught me a lesson I have not forgotten for nearly 80 years. Grandson, he says, pray. Pray every day, God give me faith. I look at him, he looked like Abraham. He's all old. I said, what is faith, Akong? You don't ask, never mind. You just believe that you need faith. You must pray. When you grow older, you understand. So it is. We must pray for faith. Of course, by now we all understand. Faith is believing just what God says. And acting on it. Believing means you also obey. Trust and obey. So, here was Israel in the grips of a man called Pharaoh, the greatest power on earth at that time. And how can I let them go? It is a matter of economics, you know what I mean? They will cost the nation immeasurable loss to let this group of superior workers. Jews make extremely good workers. Because they are well educated. Degreed people are working in the factories as factory laborers. Degreed. So in those days, without degrees, they were superior workers. Pharaoh says, no, nothing doing. You lazy people, get on with the work. God raised Moses. Moses, go and tell Pharaoh, who am I? Why should you send me? I am not eloquent. I'm a very shy person. Dear friends, without faith you cannot please God. If God should call you, if there is a need for someone to go and do God's work, don't say, who am I? If you feel God calling you, submit to Him and pray to Him, Lord, make me what you want me to be. Help me to trust and to obey. This is the only thing that pleases God. For without faith you cannot please Him. So, Pharaoh did not know God. And he says, who is the Lord? I know not. Moses obeyed. And Moses became God's man. Who among all those in the Bible has this spoken of him? God spoke to him face to face, mouth to mouth. And of all men on earth, he was the most meek and humble. Amazing description, isn't it? But he was above all a man of faith. And he went in and conveyed the message of God to Pharaoh. Let my people go. Once, twice, three times, nine times. The request was applied with a plague. Nine plagues. Nothing happened because Pharaoh was a very tough customer. But understand the story of the Exodus itself, a marvelous story, to demonstrate to us the power of God and the wisdom of God, unsearchable. Read that story yourself, please, one day. Yes, soon. And you'll see in every event of that story how God is working towards one end, the glory of His name. And everyone who opposes will find to his cost, it is not worth your opposing God. The timing had come. God's timing. God has a plan. Look at this green sheet now. Look at the Exodus. God's plan. Do you know that God had planned this? 400 years, in fact, before the foundation of the world. God has a plan for the whole of human history. From the beginning of creation, before the beginning of creation, God had everything mapped out, your salvation included. Yes, the Word of God says so. Before the foundation of the world, I knew you, and I chose you to come and believe. Amazing. The wisdom of God and knowledge of God is unsearchable. So here he is. Pharaoh, my plan. Take note. Number one, God's plan. No other way. You have opposed me for nine times. And my patience is up. God has a plan. It goes according to His timing, not your timing, not anybody else's timing. We have considered so many times the Lord is coming. And some people get impatient and they set a time. They do some calculations and they say it will happen in 1999 or whatever it is. All those who set times and dates will find to their cost that their proof false. But God has a plan. And that plan came just at the time that God called Moses. I pray that God will call someone here. It is the best thing on earth, in your life, if God will call you as He called me. I had the call when I was 10. At 13, attending Dr. John Sung's meetings, 4 years. Every year, until the fourth year, He says, those who want to serve the Lord, hands up and come. And I went. And that event never is forgotten. It is imprinted in the memory. And God never lets you forget. God has a blessing for us when there is that faith to accept His challenge. God's plan. No other way. Nothing would move the Pharaoh to let God's people go. God has a plan. And if He says, my people will go, they will go. Nothing on earth can obstruct His plan. Do you know that? If God plans something, it is so. And we who know it by faith, accept it and do it. For there is no other way. What was God's plan? Number two, it was the killing of a lamb. Since nine plagues were insufficient to move this man with this tough customer called Pharaoh, God has a final plague, one more. And this one God had planned such that when it happens, it will be decisive. So it was on that night that God had planned everything. Do you know that when Jesus came on earth and went about His ministry, His whole ministry was geared towards that one final day, the Passover. Why was it? It was a rerun. It's a foreshadowing of the crucifixion, the killing of the lamb on that night, in order to release God's people out of the hand of Pharaoh. So it was to be a repeat. When Jesus went to the cross, it was the Passover sacrifice. On the cross, as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, that releases and breaks the bond of Satan, Christ went to the cross. It is here on the night of the Passover. Amazing, isn't it? There's an exact parallel, as it were a mirror image. You thank God now for the Exodus? Amazing. On that night, by faith, all the households of Israel throughout Egypt obeyed. Not one was disobedient. Thank God for that. What did they do? Exactly as Moses instructed. Every house save a lamb. Until that day, when I give the order, all of you kill your lamb. The lamb is the most docile animal God ever created. Did you know this? You can't touch your cat, you can't touch your dog. You hurt them one bit, they bite you. But you take the lamb, take even the grown sheep. He doesn't protest. Even when you put the knife to the throat and cut it, it just goes meekly. This is the lamb. For the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ came for you and for me. And He went willingly. So on that night, the lamb was sacrificed. The lamb had to be without blemish. A foreshadowing of the coming of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, without sin. To pay your price. A spotless lamb to take away your sin and my sin. And that lamb had to be killed. There had to be shedding of blood. Do you know there are many ways of killing a man? Many ways. As they say, there are 100 ways to kill a cat. But Jesus came just at the time when the method of punishment, or capital punishment, was crucifixion. Do you know what is crucifixion? Who invented it? I thought the Romans, until I did my research. Say no,
was the Phoenicians and the maybe the Persians, these other people, and the Romans took it up. So that is a good way for all our worst enemies, all those worst criminals, put them to the cross. There is no more cruel way than crucifixion, to kill a person. And this was God the Father chose for his own Son, that to show the hideousness and the awful awesomeness of our sins, put on his Son, that the Son must go through the worst sort of dying for you and for me, to show us that it was the price paid for our rebellion and the sinfulness of sins that we have committed, reflected in the way Jesus died. And he was the Lamb of God. Number three, then the Lamb's blood has to be applied to each house. You cannot say, well, I am a Christian, and all my family will be automatically Christians. They're not. They're not. To be a Christian, it got to come from your heart, and your will must be submitted to the Savior. Until you say, Lord Jesus, I trust in you. I know you are the only Savior, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I believe in you. You are not saved until you come to that point. Yes. Not by being registered as a member of a church. Not because my father is a Christian, my grandfather is a pastor, and I feel pretty good. I'm one of them. You're not. Until you have come to apply the blood of the Lamb, until every house in Egypt on that night, mind you, no house was exempted. You can't say that, well, I belong to my grandfather. He lives next door. He's got the blood. I don't need the blood. Every house had to have the blood applied on the huts, on the doorway, above the doorway, on the lintels, on the two side posts. Blood all around. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is the promise. This is faith. There's no other way. So on that night, every household in Egypt, I wonder what the Egyptians thought if they had gone out for a walk in the street. Hey, why is it these houses all have blood? They can only puzzle. They don't know. Until it struck midnight, they were back at home, maybe asleep. Until that moment, there was a huge cry, upcry, from every household that did not have the blood, including Pharaoh, his elder sons. At the stroke of 12, we don't know how it happened, but that I suppose their throats were cut. And they died. And there was an instant uproar throughout the whole land of Egypt, because not only men, but livestock, cattle, firstborn, all the firstborn were gone. Amazing. Price of faithlessness. But that one act, one prescription of God worked, because on that night, not only did Pharaoh agree, but begged Moses and Aaron, call for them urgently, please, before we all come become dead men. Go away, all of you. No longer was he reluctant, but only too happy to see the last of the Jews. Get out of here. So that is the way we are set free also. By faith alone, in the shed blood of Jesus, we are spared the angel of death. That kind of punishment is taken away from us, and we are set free. Number four, Now we're released. Yes. You and me, by faith in Jesus Christ, we're now on our way to the promised land. Do you know that?
Did Abraham know?
Yes. Amazing. Abraham, by faith, saw, not this earthly Canaan, not Israel. Have you been there? Make a trip one day, and that will give you a much better perspective that heaven is not there. Heaven is up there. Abraham saw with eyes of faith, and from then on, he looked to God. And look to the heavenly home. Are you, dear friends? Are you hoping and working and setting your affection on things above and not on things on the earth? That is faith. By faith you please God. No other thing pleases God. Not by the amount of offering you give. Why do we give then? We give because we are grateful. After we are saved, God has blessed us. We therefore give. But you don't give to gain your salvation. Salvation comes by faith. Faith, simply to apply the blood of the Lamb on your front door posts and above the door. The blood of the Lamb, amazing, has power that you do not know. So, from now on, we must live the Christian life. Think of what happened to the Jews. Can you believe that they were on the verge of entering the promised land, on the doorstep of the promised land? And Moses received instruction from God. And God said to Moses, send 12 spies to go and spy out the land. So God sent the 12 spies. As Moses took the order, selected 12 men. Two were good spies, Caleb and Joshua. The other 10 were faithless spies. However, when they came back and gave the report, you know what they said? Yes, we agreed it was a good land. But the enemy in there, very powerful, very tall, very strong, and the cities are all walled. How can we go in there? We only see ourselves as grasshoppers, and they are giants. How can we get in there? How many said that? 10. Oh, my friends, let's turn there and see how it works. It is in the book of Numbers. Exodus, Leviticus, then Numbers. This is a fast progression. Progression from Exodus. Now we go into Numbers. Was it a good land? Numbers chapter 13, yes. Chapter 13. Verse 23. Now here they made a correct assessment. Numbers 13, verse 23. They came into the brook Eshcol and cut down from thence a bunch of grapes. And they had to carry them between two of them on the staff.
Wow. We go to the supermarket, you buy grapes. They're all in handfuls. Here, two people had to carry. Need you ask for any more evidence of the land, what they can produce? Today, you go to Israel. You're amazed. Green and lush. Fruit farms. They have the record for the number of
kilograms of bananas out of 1 acre, world record. I don't know what other world records the Jews hold, but it is a land of milk and honey, a land so fertile that God has blessed them. And so they return, verse 25. After 40 days, same chapter. But, verse 32, they brought an evil report of the land that they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land though through which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw are men of great stature. We saw the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight also. How wicked and how faithless these men were. They even spoke for the people that they thought were thinking about them. They said, they have also assessed us as grasshoppers. We're nothing. How can we go in there? So this is the kind of faithlessness. And for that faithlessness, the people took a vote. Dear friends, cowardice is infectious. Do you know that? Cowardice is infectious. In any movement, you need someone of courage to rise up and say, we ought to do this because it is right. Not because it is expedient. Not because it is popular. We do it because it is right in God's sight. And we will do it. That is faith. But these two never remembered what God had done for them. How can we have faith? Faith is what? Believing is seeing. But when you have seen, seeing is also believing. Did they not see? Did they not see the whole army of horsemen and soldiers and chariots and Pharaoh himself drowning in the sea, Red Sea? Did they not see? Of course. Did they not remember? No, they wiped this from their mind. They refused to recall. They refused to acknowledge. All they know is, wow, we are like grasshoppers. How can we go into the promised land? They want to be carried in bed on beds of, I don't know what, beds of ease. Welcome, wow, 2 million, welcome, welcome. And they have a great parade and say, now tonight we have a grand dinner to welcome all these wayfarers from afar. 2 million of them. We'll give you the land. We'll give you everything. Short of that, we're not going in. Oh, dear friends. For that faithlessness, what did God do? God said, yes. You refuse to go. We're not compelling you to go. You will not go. You will not enter. You are going to now wander in this wilderness for 40 years. There is a price for faithlessness, dear friends. Even though the thing is, God's will, do it. No matter how unpopular or difficult it seems to be. For God can remove difficulties. Now we are facing difficulties in the Bible college. Yes. You know that the judgment given to us is unfavorable in the sense that we have to get out. Now there is an appeal. We await the appeal. Let us pray. Can you remember to pray? Pray that God will help us. That we standing by faith, in faith, asking God to please intervene. Can it be done? God can do things we cannot. We don't think He can. For our God can move even the heart of kings. So let us have faith. That faithlessness cost Israel 40 years. And let's not think it is a light thing. The 10 spies who came back and said, "We are like grasshoppers." Did they go free? Not at all. That very night, God killed them. Sentence of death is passed. 10 unworthy spies that let down the whole of the nation of Israel to suffer the sentence of 40 years wandering in the wilderness. That is cause of faithlessness. Dear friends, what is the lesson of Exodus tonight? Have you gone through Exodus in your life? Do you know Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, your Savior? If there is anyone who does not know, come tonight. I will sit there for 10 minutes. Come and talk to me. We will tell you how you too, as I did, can accept and receive Jesus as the Lamb of God and have His blood applied to your heart. And you will be saved and safe forever into the kingdom of God, the land of Canaan waiting for you. Why wander in the wilderness for 40 years? This is the story of the Exodus. Please read it for yourself. 40 chapters is not a lot. Not a lot. God help us that we will all daily do His will, daily enlarge the kingdom of God, daily go for the King. He is coming back again. Do you know that? How do you know that? How do I know that? I know it because by faith, you see the signs. Days of Lot, days of Noah are on earth. Do you know that? Yes. Now, Straits Times yesterday carried a whole page on nothing but sex education. And what does it say there? Too little, too late, too vague. Must be more explicit so that the children at 10 and 12 will begin to exercise sex. This is what the society has coming to. This is what days of Lot are in Singapore. And if so, can the Lord's coming be far away? That is faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant that we may understand the meaning of faith. And the meaning of faith is simply to trust and to obey. To know the Lord's will and to trust in Him and to do that will. O Lord our God, save someone here tonight who has yet to know Thee as Lord and Savior, as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Bless all our members, our brethren, our friends here with the faith that overcomes all doubt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.